Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Project 223 podcast. Back at you here in July 2023 with another great episode. So glad you're here with us. Started off with a little Striper, The Valley. Glad to be with you. And I'm going to also start off today with a little scenario, a little SHTF scenario. All right. Picture this. A dirty bomb is detonated at the main gate of the local Navy base. Dangerous fallout is being blown by the wind, and a mandatory evacuation order is being proposed by local government officials. Because you listen to the Project 223 podcast and you're a prepared citizen, you have a mutual assistance group that you've been working with, and you and your fellow preparedness minded people are ready to bug out. You get your convoy together. You have your mobility plan that you've been working on for your group. And many have been preparing, but not everyone has made the effort. As your convoy heads out, you have full cars with extra gasoline, food, and supplies. But not long after getting on the highway, disabled vehicles and other roadblocks force you to take some minor detours. One vehicle hits a curb and destroys his tire. But then, as they go to change that tire, it's discovered that he doesn't have a spare. He hadn't made the effort to work on the mobility training with all the rest of you, where everybody went through and checked their jack, their spare tire, made sure everybody was ready to go. So now he's standing there full of regret while the rest of the group is loaded up and ready to roll. How would you feel if this was you? What would you give to go back in time and do things differently? At the Project 223, talk about Proverbs 22:3, which says, "The wise man sees trouble and prepares, but the fool keeps going and suffers." Well, we don't want you to be a fool. We want you to be wise. And as he says in Proverbs 2, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. So listen up today and learn on the Project 223 podcast. Yeah. All right, let's get after it. So first off, I'm going to start a new little segment here. I don't know about you guys. I enjoy drinking a nice cold beer. I've been drinking some non-alcoholic beers lately, and they've got some pretty cool offerings these days. It used to be if you wanted a non-alcoholic beer, you were stuck with an O'Doul's. But lately, there's been quite a few IPAs and different types of beers out there. So if you enjoy drinking beer, but you want to stay sharp, you don't want to be drunk, you don't want to be have your mind being altered by that or having it cause you a problem, there's a lot of good selections out there. Today we're drinking the Deschutes Brewery Black Butte, non-alcoholic, and it's pretty tasty, dark. I think they're called a porter. I'm not a big like fancy beer guy, but I really enjoy this, so pretty tasty. All right, another spotlight we're gonna do today was we're having the training spotlight of the day, and this weekend got a chance to do some training with Training Northwest. Out of in Snohomish County, Washington here. They have a great facility up in Granite Falls, Washington. And I was able to take part in their concealed carry class. We had a great time. Tobin from Training Northwest is an awesome instructor. And he did a great job of presenting the material. There were some really good people up there. Steven, Matt, great guys. Kevin, Michael, Bill, Nick, who else is in the class? We had a great time, so shout out to all the guys that were in the class there. It started off with some basic drawing from the holster. This class was not your basic pistol. It was assumed that everybody here already concealed carries a pistol, and so they have some basic pistol knowledge. Drawing from the holster, making sure everybody was kind of safe with that. Safety was emphasized the whole time, but yet also you were not treated like a treated like a child or treated like you didn't know what you're doing. It was adult learning, so I appreciated that. So we drawing from holster, and then we introduced some interesting concepts. We worked on close quarters stuff. So like if you were somebody's right next to you and all of a sudden you needed to draw your pistol out to defend yourself. So we did some drills where we made space away from an attacker. Also some drills where we pulled ourselves in close to an attacker. And it was pretty interesting the way they did that. We did work with barricades, moving two barricades and utilizing those for cover while you were engaging a deadly threat. One other thing that was really cool was some of the scenarios we did with, say your family is in the grocery store and you were in your car and all of a sudden shooting starts and you needed to make your way through the parking lot to the store to try to rescue your family, get them out of there, and possibly engage threats on the way in. So we had a great drill where you moved to a barricade, engaged threats, moved to another barricade, and so we did that. Also had some really cool drills where you actually had your family members and were trying to flee from an active shooter situation or some type of threat. So you would direct your family member to move while you covered them, or you also had to work on engaging the threat and then grabbing your family member by the arm and dragging them because they're literally panicking to the point where they couldn't move. So it was really fun. There was some other stuff we did. I'm not going to give away all the good stuff, but I would encourage you, if you have an opportunity to train with them, the time is well used. They don't waste any time. It was a 3-hour block of training and you were going hard the whole time and they stuffed a lot of material into that 3 hours. So really appreciated that time. And we also talked a little bit about the upcoming rifleman camp that they have that's on their training calendar. It's all sold out for this current session, but I'm sure they'll have more of those in the future. It's going to be 3 days interactive in the woods, doing their training classes, living out of the backpacks, and spend time around the campfire in the evenings, fellowshipping. It's going to be really fun. I'm going to be helping out with the medical portion of that training, so it's a great opportunity to get out there and meet some people and to share some knowledge. So I'm excited for that coming up. And of course, another great local trainer is our friend Bryce with Intrepid Tactics. So depending on your training style, there's all kinds of great firearms instruction that's going on in the Puget Sound area. So take your pick if your style is Army Ranger or Special Forces Green Beret. You can find a great instructor that matches your learning style. So let's talk a little bit about the scenario. This could be a little controversial for some people. And I think that being prepared is a controversial topic. There's a lot of people out there that just think it's silly. They think that any of these situations or scenarios that are hypothetical and that, you know, they're probably not going to happen, which we hope not. But the question is that, what do you think? What do you truly think? If you're listening to this podcast, then I imagine you probably agree that there's a chance for tough times to come. We all know the story of the frog in the pot. When the heat slowly turned up, the frog doesn't necessarily notice, and so he just allows himself to get hotter and hotter and could actually be boiled to death. But if that heat was turned up quickly, the frog would sense that and jump out of the pot. Sometimes it's like that with us as well, right? Whether it's political or with natural disasters and emergencies, there's all kinds of troubles and trials we see. And, you know, a few years back, 3 years ago, a bunch of people, we started getting together and saying, man, you know, we need to get off the bench. We need to get prepared. The cities are burning, rioting's happening. But then what happens? They dial that back down. They get the person into power that they want into power, or they achieve the goal that they want, but they don't want to stir up the people too much, because we might actually join together and stand up against some of these corrupt leaders and politicians that don't have our best interests at heart. They really want to divide people based on their race, based on their gender, based on their ideology. And they knew that if we stick together, if we work together, that we could make this world a better place. And you and I all know that without the Lord in our life, without following God's plan for the world as laid out in the Bible, that we are destined for trouble in this world. So we know that that's the first priority, is getting right with God. But people can even people that are God-fearing and good people can be painted to be bad and evil people based on political ideologies. I remember somebody talking about Christians when my kids were in high school, and they didn't want them to come to a high school youth thing that we had because they said, Christians hate gays. And I was really disturbed and sad about that. I don't know any Christians that hate gays. I know a lot of Christians that love God's people and love anybody. And just because maybe they disagree with the lifestyle and believe that something is sinful or not according to God's perfect plan, it doesn't mean that they hate the person. On the contrary, I love all of God's people, and there might be somebody that does something wicked and evil, and they deserve to be, they deserve a punishment or a consequence for that, being a child abuser or a sex offender or something of that nature. Obviously, those people there's no mercy for them. They're going to have to pay that price. But when it comes to somebody that just has a different political ideology or a way of life that's not hurting other people, I don't hate those people at all. So anyways, that's just a side note. But being prepared, being the frog in the slow boil, are you personally preparing at the same intensity or the same level that you were maybe 3 years ago or maybe 2 years ago or a year ago? It can be really easy to slow down, to take it easy when the heat starts coming down a little bit. And to me, preparedness is about steady, consistent growth, steady, getting better each day, each week, each month, not letting up. And you can have fun and enjoy your life, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends at the same time. It's not an either or. Either I'm preparing and training, or I'm spending time with my family, or I'm doing fun things that I enjoy. It's not like that at all. If you make preparedness just part of your lifestyle and commit to that, but yet incorporate that into the fun and the relationships and your lifestyle, it's a great way to live, in my opinion. So I have joy. I'm not just, walking around miserable I just have got to stock up more food and more ammunition. It's not like that. Preparedness is about living a fun-filled life of happiness and joy, being resilient, self-reliant, working in my garden. I've got beautiful, we've got the tomatoes growing, the raspberries are just going nuts, green beans, peas, cucumbers. I mean, the garden's just going crazy. That's preparedness, but it's enjoyable. It's fun for me to see that. The chickens out there feeding these chickens, and it's just so fun to see them running around. They're just hilarious. But it gives me great joy to have that as part of my life. And the friends that I've made, the relationships that I have of other people who are like-minded, to me, that's fulfilling, but it's constantly moving forward. We can't let up, and we can't get complacent. So everybody think about this and be honest with yourself. What is the likelihood that bad stuff will happen? Think about that. And what are you preparing for? In Jack Lawson's book, The Civil Defense Manual, which we've talked about before, I love this book. It's like a textbook. It's huge. There's actually two volumes. But they have a really cool chart in there, and it's called the Chart of Catastrophic Events and Characteristics. And it's two full pages, so it spans the whole page. And on one side, it has columns going down, and there's probably, 12, 14 columns. And in column A, it gives you the list of catastrophic events. What could possibly happen? So things like a hot civil war, and it lists them in order of possibility. So in column B, it says the probability of this event happening. So hot civil war, strife, and massive violence instigated by globalist, elitist, leftist agendas being forced on people contrary to the laws of governance. Where traditionalist white people live, we'll see the worst unrest from outside groups attempting to silence and subjugate them. Expect total chaos with other concurrent man-made catastrophic events. Think BLM, Antifa, rioting, diminished law enforcement, etc. So it goes through there. That's column A1, and it says the probability that that's happening, that it's in progress right now. So pretty probable. And then each column has a different thing where it says, in column C, it says, is this a collapse of society? It'll tell you it's either possible, yes, or no. Is it a prolonged crisis? Yes or no? What's the geographical area that's affected? So this would be whereabouts in the world. The probability of global expansion. Is there widespread civil unrest and violence? The probability of martial law. Does the electric power grid go down? So it goes through and it tells you what different areas are going to be affected by each one of these. And so there's 22 different ones on there, and I won't read the whole thing. It talks about engineered financial collapse, global pandemic, cyber hacking, as we go down the list. And they range from in progress to highly probable to probable, and then very little probability. So when you get down to the bottom, tsunami or severe coastal damage, nuclear power plant meltdown, magnetic pole shift, worldwide shortage or loss of potable water. So these are all things that could possibly happen. And I'll tell you, if you are a person who believes that the Bible is true, all you need to do is open up to the book of Revelation and you know what it says back there. And if you don't, you should. Makes it very clear that there will be a lot of these things are going to happen. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be wild beasts that kill people. There will be famine in the world. There'll be financial collapse. There'll be wars. All those things, it says eventually up to half the world's population will be killed. That's what God's word says in the Bible. And so depending on what your beliefs, you don't have to be a believer to listen to our show, but you can see, even if you don't, that a lot of these things are currently happening as we speak. So I find that very interesting, going through that chart and looking at that and trying to decide, hey, what is it that I really think is going to happen? And I think a big thing for me is I believe that they're going to try to limit more and more what I can do. They're going to try to take away my freedoms if I don't think like them, if I don't fall in line with what they tell me to do, what they tell me is right and wrong, what they tell me to believe. We've seen it already. Most of you know, if you listen to my podcast, I was fired from my job as a firefighter for over 19 years for not taking the experimental vaccine that they had pushed out. My livelihood was taken away. My health care insurance was taken away, and I was pushed out on the street because I chose not to take this thing that could physically alter my body and possibly kill me. And so I see more of that on the horizon, right? They will take away, they'll kick you out of your job. They'll take away your pension. They will not allow you to buy and sell. Think about the central bank digital currency that's coming into play. Eventually, they will use the excuse that, oh, we need to make sure everybody's paying their taxes and we need to stop the black market. And they'll use some of these things. And I can even imagine taking something as beneficial as trying to stop, you know, child sex trafficking, that they'll use those things as a reason to why they need to get rid of cash and start going to digital currency. And it'll be inevitable. People won't be able to escape that. And they'll be able to use that to control you. It's kind of funny. I'm just thinking about it. Somebody on social media the other day called me a conspiracy theorist. And I was like, what? And I thought, well, if the theories are coming true, then are they really conspiracies? I don't know. But anyways, it just popped back into my mind. But I'm just presenting some thoughts, presenting some ideas of things that could possibly happen. We see that happening even as we speak. So bringing this around back to our scenario that we talked about in the beginning. If you've worked hard to build a mutual assistance group or a team, a community of people who are like-minded and want to work together, make sure that you set your standards early. Make sure that everybody in the group has buy-in and is thinking along the same lines. You're going to do your best to help other people, but you have a choice who you want to throw your lot in with. And if you start setting up relationships and build relationships with people who don't find it as important to prepare, that think that people can just do, you know, what they want and not have any kind of a standard for the group, then you might want to think about how that's going to affect you and your family. Because if you are preparing, you're setting aside, you're sacrificing your time, you're sacrificing your finances and part of your life energy to try to get yourself to a certain place, and you want to encourage others to do the same thing as well, but yet they don't want to do that, or they don't have the time or the ability or the desire to do that, then you might want to think, is this somebody that you want to throw your lot in with? And make sure that you find people that are like-minded and have the same thoughts and goals sooner rather than later. It can be difficult to think about those things, but I can tell you that it could be a lot more difficult when the balloon goes up, when the stuff starts hitting the fan, and all of a sudden you realize that people start turning to you and want you to help and support them, but they haven't been willing to do their part. I think about the story of the three little pigs, that wonderful story where the one pig built his house out of straw, another one out of wood, but then the one built it out of brick. And so there's also, it takes you back right to the Bible. This is a little more high-minded, but the man who built his house on the rock versus the man that built his house on the sand. It was a little harder and more work was involved to build his house on the rock, but he took the time when things were good. And what happened when the storms came? What happened to the man who built his house on the sand? The storms came and washed his house away. But the man who built his house on the rock, on the solid foundation, he was able to stand when the tough times came. He was a wise man. I also think about the story in the book of Matthew of the 10 virgins. There was 10 virgins. They were the ladies that were waiting for the bridegroom to come for the wedding feast. You know the story. And 5 of these virgins were wise young ladies, and they had oil in their lamps, right? They had their battery packs were charged. They had their lamps were ready to go. But then there was 5 foolish ones, and they didn't have oil in their lamps. They let their battery packs die down. They weren't charged up. They didn't have anything in their Faraday cage when the EMP hit. When the bridegroom came, they weren't ready. And they said to the ones with the oil in their lamps, "Help us, we've run out of oil, and give us some of your oil." And the 5 that were wise that had the oil said, "No, we can't do that. If we give you ours, then we won't have any, and we'll all be out." And so those 5 wise virgins were brought into the wedding feast because they were ready, but the 5 foolish ones were left outside and kept in the darkness. So I think God might be trying to tell us something. It's smart to be prepared, and we know that he's focusing on eternity, right? He's focusing on our relationship with him, accepting his son Jesus Christ and his forgiveness of sins. That's the most important preparedness we can have, I believe. And I encourage you, if you have never had that experience, to look into it. It's same with just preparedness for life and troubles in life as well. If you're prepared now, if you're ready, when the tough times come, you'll be prepared to deal with those things and live your life in a way that's full of happiness and joy, and still maintain a lifestyle during the tough times where others are going hungry and are suffering. And not just to be selfish, but if you can be strong, if you can be prepared when the tough times come, you will be able to reach out to other people. You'll be able to help other people. And we know that not everybody's going to be ready. And us that are strong, us that are prepared and ready, hopefully we will have the ability to help many people that aren't ready. And we're going to have mercy, and we're going to do everything we can to take care of those people that weren't quite ready. That's our focus on being ready, not being complacent as you prepare. And one final thing I'd like to share in this on a little bit positive note, it's our product spotlight for preparedness. Today I'd like to focus on the AMP 3 Outfitter Roll. This is basically a giant comprehensive first aid kit, but it does even more than first aid. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the AMP 3 company. The first time I ran into them was at the Preparedness Expo over in Eastern Washington. They not only have great first aid products, but also ham radio resources for you. David Pruitt, and the website is amp-3.net. And I've taken a class from David. He goes by the USNER doc. He was a Naval Reserve Emergency Room doctor, I believe. And I've taken personal classes from him on suturing at a preparedness expo. He's a great man, really cool guy. On his website, if you go there, he's got all kinds of different kits. And I'm talking today about the AMP 3 Outfitter. And they also call this the clinic in a roll, comprehensive first aid and emergency kit. It's not cheap. It's just a little under $700, but this thing is awesome. You roll it out and it's got every single type of medical supply that you will need in there. It's got a different packets. And I like the way he's got it set up. They're Ziploc bags that are set in this roll into little pouches. So you pull the Ziploc bag out and it has a nice clear list on there of what's inside those. But if you go to their website, you can see it's all made in the USA. So some of the different packages that they have, one of them is the trauma pack. So it has Israeli bandage in it, SWAT tourniquets, things like that, quick clot. They have a personal perfection pack. So it's got some all kinds of personal hygiene items. There's a dressing pack, a blister kit, tape module, tool module, wound care packs, medication module. There's a dental pack, all kinds of stuff. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's awesome. And it's got a lot of cool stuff in there. So if you're looking for a kit for your group or your team or a big role to have in for your family and you have got a little money to spend, maybe even get together with a few of your neighbors or some of the people in your group and put together some money and buy this kit for your group, be a great way to go. So that's the AMP3 Outfitter Clinic in a Roll by AMP3.net. Well, I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. It's been a little while since we've been on the air. Had a lot of stuff going on with family and summertime, but now we're going to get back rolling with some regular podcasts. Happy to be in studio with you today. So from the Project 223 Studios, the Eagle's Nest, located in the Pacific Northwest. This is the Bald Eagle. Brent, thanks for joining us, and I hope you have a great rest of the week. Close it out with a little more Striper. Fallen. Don't be left behind.